precision livestock farming, it's all about how you can minimize input and maximize your output. Precision livestock farming, this is mainly be done through, you know, using a collection of sensors to collect a wide spectrum of data to have comprehensive understanding of the animals, so you can have better decision making, better management that is particular to each animal's need.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. AB Vista, new nutritional perspectives and novel enzyme applications to drive pig production. You can combat mycotoxins in your feed with Fumezyme from DSM Firmenich. Fumezyme is the only FDA-approved enzyme to degrade fumonisins. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in a high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Eastman works with you to accelerate your nutritional program innovation. Start your journey with us at eastman.com. Healthier pigs are good for producers, people, profits, and planet.
Hello, and welcome to the SwineKnit podcast show. I'm Dr. Tara Donovan, your host, and today I have Dr. Ziting Wu as my guest. Dr. Wu is an assistant professor at the Department of Poultry Science at Texas A&M University. Ziting, welcome to our show.
Hi, Tara. Thank you for the invitation and thank you for having me here.
Absolutely. So today, Ziting and I are going to explore an exciting cutting-edge topic, precision livestock farming, and some technologies that he's been working on in the swine side of that. Before we dive in, Ziting, would you take a few minutes and introduce yourself to our guests? Give us your brief background, how you got to where you are at Texas A&M.
Yeah, sure. So I'm an assistant professor at Texas A&M, the Department of Poultry Science. It's my second year here, and my undergraduate and my master training are in electrical engineering. And I did my PhD and my dissertation is on automated estrus detection technology for swine.
Okay, great. Well, it's exciting because this seems like a very tactical type of technology in that space. So I'm excited to get to know what you're working on in the reproduction space of this precision livestock farming. And then we'll jump into the respiration monitoring, which is also new to me. So start with the big picture, Ziting. How would you define precision livestock farming in the context of swine production?
Yeah, so I think for precision livestock farming, it's all about how you can minimize input and maximize your output. Precision livestock farming, this is mainly be done through, you know, using a collection of sensors to collect a wide spectrum of data to have comprehensive understanding of the animals, so you can have better decision making, better management that is particular to each animal's need. So we can provide better care to each individual animal and get better result out of it.
Fortiva is moving beyond feed additives to create foundational ingredients that work with your pig's physiology to support resilience and health. With proven technologies like Ambitine, Flow Matrix, and Endura, Fortiva helps you address the toughest challenges in swine production. From gut health to growth performance, together we can make animals more resilient in the face of future challenges. Learn how at FortivaImpact.com.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to describe it. So it's a big space, right? And there's a lot of different technologies that are coming at us in this area. So let's dig into one that I know you've been working on and have a lot of expertise on when it comes to swine reproductivity. Tell us how precision technologies can enhance efficiency. So tell us what you've been working on.
Yes. So previously, we were doing automated estrus detection. So that's part of where we're applying the precision livestock farming technology. Because, you know, right now it's all manual procedure. Farmers have to go to each individual sows to check for estrus status. And a lot of time they can't really have a frequent monitoring. They typically check it once or twice a day, and it's particularly inefficient for return estrus detection, right? So we developed new technology to incorporate vulvar swollenness as another indicator that we can quantify to achieve this, you know, objective measurement. So we combine vulva swollenness together with behavior pattern. In my previous study, we kind of showcase, you know, by combining the two sets of features together, it can improve the edge detection accuracy in an autonomous way. And even just using vulva swollenness alone, which we can apply that technology in group housing, you know, in the electrical cell feeder. So that alone can also provide satisfactory result for edge detection.
Very interesting. I've familiar with looking at temperature, right, as an estrus detection model, but this was a different way in swine that I wasn't aware of.
For temperature evaluation, we looked into that a little bit, but it's kind of sometimes it can be pretty challenging because you have different ambient temperature, you know, in the different seasons and just different system location, all of those can impact the body surface temperature that we get from the sensors. Yeah, so we got a lot of fluctuation in the data when we were doing that type of study.
Yeah, and that makes sense based on different areas of the country where swine are kept, right, in terms of the ambient temperature having an effect on that basal body temperature. So let's go back to the kind of this robotic system that's able to do this. And you mentioned both in a group housing system and also in a stall system. So is this, technology a camera that is on a person or on a track, or how does it, or is it mounted in the room? How does it work? What do you see that in the space that we're in?
So we put it on a linear rail. So it's a robotic system that goes back and forth to monitor animals, individual animals periodically. Because we still want to be able to acquire the behavior pattern. So we compare different intervals, and because it's always about cost effective, right? So the more animal each system can monitor, the more cost effective for farmer. So pretty much we think 20 minutes interval is the maximum interval that the robot should monitor each cell at. And if we're having individual camera mounted behind each cell, because to monitor vulva swollenness, we kind of need a 3D camera. Otherwise, it's going to be relied on RGB camera and to estimate the width, length, those parameter. And they tend to be less accurate because I try to use a caliper to measure the width and length. I think width is easier to measure with the caliper, but the length, the vulva length, that's pretty challenging for older cell with larger vulva size. It's hard to, at least for me, it was hard to measure those parameters. So it's also going to be difficult for machine vision to have accurate interpretation of the length. So that's why we set the robotic system to come back and forth so that we only use one 3D camera.
Yeah, that makes sense. And yeah, all of what you said makes sense to me in terms of an older sow, maturity and having, had many litters, has a different shape and different look for sure for a camera. So then tell me about like an automatic feeding system or a group system where sows are not, housed in a stall in a row where this camera can be. How does that work?
Yeah, so that's going to be very straightforward. It's very easy to achieve because the sow with the electronic sow feeder, they already have RFID tag, right? So when they enter the feeding station, once the door is closed and the camera is mounted on the door, so we can read the RFID number, we just measure the volume and compare to the previous records and see how much of an increase in the vulva volume. So that can provide the indicator for onset of estrus if there's an increase, significant increase in the vulva size.
Yeah, that makes sense too. So tell me about, I'm familiar, with the manual way, right, to estrus detect and certainly with the look and the color of the vulva and then the behavior and the you know, standing in heat in front of the board. But tell me, is this able to detect estrus sooner? And so how do you time your insemination process then after you, you know, get some kind of a measurement that says this sow is coming into estrus? What's the time frame?
I don't have answer for that yet, because the way that we set up our experiment, we set it up according to the technician's feedback. So the technician tell us when the sow is in heat. So they check it twice a day. So that's the best we can get. And we didn't do any blood sample or urine sample to have an estimation on the precise timing that the sow came into estrus. Yeah, so we're only based on the technician's feedback. So can't really say how much sooner it can detect the estrus, because we don't have that ground truth data.
Okay.
And also to use vulva swollenness, it might not be always, that type of data might not always be available to the sensor, because you have to get it when the sow is standing. And sometimes even when they're standing, the tail can block the vulva region, right? And it's for group housing with the electric sow feeder, they go there maybe once or twice a day. So that's also not going to be super high resolution in the time stem-wise, yeah.
So what it sounds like is maybe it's not a replacement for the manual process, but it's an assurance or more accuracy?
So it should be mimicking the exact flow for the farmer's manual operation. So it tells our idea for this to be working is, okay, every morning I should give you a set of detection results, which cells are in heat. And maybe a second alarm in the afternoon, so the farmer can know exactly what to do for the animal. But probably it won't be in the case of every hour we give them a prediction, okay, in the next 6 hours, the sow will come into estrus. It's probably going to be binary output, so in heat, not in heat, and the farmer would treat them animals that are in heat. So they still, ideally, they don't have to do any back pressure test, just based on the robotic system's output and do the artificial insemination.
Yeah, that makes sense. So definitely a labor savings there in time, right? In terms of the you know, heat checking with the boar. So tell me about for overall efficiency and herd management using this technology down the road. How do you see it getting implemented, and you know, what would be the you know, maybe specific data points that producers would focus on with this technology on the reproductive side?
Yeah, so the first thing is to the most important thing is to achieve at least similar farrowing rate or conception rate compared to the existing manual effort. So yeah, that's the number one thing. So far, we don't have a super big data set yet. So we only test in a relatively small group, about 60 of them, 60, 80 of the cells that we tested, and we got pretty high accuracy from those. So we need to have a larger animal sample size and try in a larger setting, put it in different housing systems with different stock size, right? So because when we looked at the behavior, we think, you know, the number of animal in the space can impact your behavior pattern a lot, especially towards the around the returned estrus, because our hypothesis is they are stronger, they get more strength later down the way. So the noise, the stimulants in the environment, they have better strength to react to those stress, the noise from other cells. So yeah, so we need a larger animal sample size, and once we achieve satisfactory accuracy, then I think it's going to be a promising technology for the industry to use.
Yeah, I think it sounds really promising. Very, very exciting. So now we're going to move on to another technology that you mentioned, and that's respiration monitoring. So this is a new area for me. And as a veterinarian in swine, I'm excited to, you know, hear what you have to say in this area, because, you know, respiration can also be an indicator on the health side.
Yeah, so we are working. They recently developed an algorithm to extract respiration rate and intensity using 3D cameras. So it's just based, we have a deep learning module to identify the abdomen region, the belly area, when the sounds are in lateral lane. So that's the time when we expect minimal movement of the sound, right? So it's just based on the fluctuation in the belly area, so we can extract the signal, and we then can, you know, compute the frequency of that signal to determine the respiration rate of the sound. So right now we're testing it to see if there's certain pattern when the sound is coming into pharynx events. So kind of expect, okay, this, if the sound is approaching pharynx, they might have more stress, they might breathe in a faster manner. So we're hoping to use that information to help predict the onset of pharynx in a more accurate manner.
Yeah, that makes sense. And also, so would you be working with cameras out in gestation to detect farrowing, or you're working with cameras in the farrowing space itself to really fine tune that?
Yeah, we put the camera in the farrowing stalls to collect the data, because we need to use the video footage to confirm the timing of the farrowing event. The particular timing, because if we depend on the farmers, we don't have that information to know precisely at what time that the birth was given.
Yeah, that would be really nice to know, right? Because having the producer, you know, there to assist farrowing, right, can certainly reduce our stillborn rate. So tell me about, like, how do you see this tool having a measurable impact? And have you had some studies to go further with this respiratory technology, or are you just beginning in that space?
We're kind of early in this phase, but the respiratory signal extraction, we're pretty comfortable with that. We just want to collect more data from a larger sample size to confirm these patterns. Right now, for some of the sound, we see a very clear increase in the respiratory rate, the frequency of the respiratory. Yeah. So, and I think another thing is, because again, so this is depending, we're only extracting the breathing pattern when the sound is in lateral lane event stage. So that means for some of the day, during some duration of the day, we're not able to evaluate those information. So we missed some of the data points. How can we extract our respiratory rate when the sounds are standing or sternal lane? And even with lateral lane postures, you know, sound can express sudden movement when they're sleeping. And those movement also kind of tinted the data a little bit. Just to give you an example, So with the deep learning module that we developed, so we're able to extract about 85% of the data points. So typically we have, you know, over 30,000 videos for each sound around the onset of pharynx. The deep learning model was able to identify the abdomen region about 85% of the time. Because of those sudden movement, for some of the sound, we kind of have to discard, you know, from 25% to 40% of the data. So that's a lot of data being dumped away and not used for evaluation. Yeah, and it's not just a single function for this system. So we put on motors on the camera so we can also look at how the piglets are born. So we want to have this system to have multiple purpose. And this camera is also tied to a robotic system to try to reduce piglet crushing mortality. So it's an overall design that we're trying to address several problems at the same time with the system.
An animal nutrition technology company offering innovative products and new applications for the swine industry.
The combination of AB Vista enzymes, technical services, and nutrition expertise provides the industry with new opportunities to further improve production efficiencies. Fiber is receiving renewed interest due to its influence on the microbiome, and AB Vista has brought together research experts to discuss the industry's knowledge of fiber functionality and to introduce a stimbiotic targeted to improve fiber digestion. To request access, contact NAM at abvista.com. That's NAM at abvista.com.
Yeah, right. So that was my next question, is what other technologies are coming right in the space? And so you just mentioned, you know, having cameras already in farrowing to detect when the sow is going to, you know, have parturition, but also to then to help with when she's going to lay down, right, after eating and to decrease crushing seems to be an area that we can improve on, certainly. And these technologies are really exciting.
Yeah, so we're also collecting data for piglets' birth interval. So we want to provide real-time alert for farmers when we detect, you know, extended duration in the piglets' birth interval. And yeah, so that's another thing that we're collecting data with. And yes, and we're trying to prevent piglets from approaching the sow when we identify them as having high risk of being crushed by the sow. So those are another two components that is a part of the functionality of the system.
Yeah, so, you know, it makes sense in the design of a sow system, right? Building a new farm, that thinking about, you know, how to get these robotic technologies accessible in each farrowing room. It's common for us to have multiple different rooms. And so, you know, do you mount cameras in all of them? Are you able to move the cameras from room to room, you know, to save expense, et cetera, and upkeep? So what do you think about that?
And that's exactly one of the design criteria we have. So we understand what's needed in the industry, what farmers need, right? We don't want to design a overly expensive solution for the farmers, right? So the camera is easily detachable. In our first iteration, we mount the camera on the ceiling. And we think, oh, this is too much work, too much installation effort. So we changed our design to mount it behind the stall. And with the robot system, right now, the first generation prototype that we developed, I think cost for the robot itself probably $200 or $300 per crate. So, and we designed it to be able to quickly put in a different stall. And Each system only need to stay in one crate for from the sow coming to farrowing room till 4 days after piglets are born. So we want to maximize the usage of the system. We don't want to let it just sit there and not producing value to the farmers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. So it is movable from room to room in that case. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's pretty easy to change from one location to another.
Okay, very cool. And so what about the longevity of this camera? Like, is it, you know, able to withstand the moisture and the dust that you would expect in a pig farm?
Because the camera, they are tilted downward. So they are not exactly facing upwards, right? So the dust build up in the back of the camera, not at the lens. So okay. We so far we didn't encounter dust issue. The main issue that we had was sow. Some of the younger sow, they're too aggressive. They hit on the stall too much, and that tilted our camera. Mm-hmm. There's too much force exerted on the stall, and the camera was shaked a little bit off angle, and that can affect the deep learning module's performance in recognizing the sow's behavior.
Okay.
Yeah, and the younger sow, like the younger parroted sows, they tend to attack the robot a little more frequent. So several of the prototype were destroyed by the low parity sows. Where the high parity sow, they don't care much about the the robotic system that we placed there.
Interesting. So just, yeah, a difference in their, maybe, you know, they're nervous, right, about being in the, either in the new pen with others or a farrowing stall, right, that they haven't ever been in before. So that's a behavior thing. Mm-hmm. So really interesting. So looking ahead, how do you see precision livestock farming evolving, like over the next 5 to 10 years? How do you see us adapting that in the industry?
If the technology can prove itself to be, you know, cost effective for farmers, help them make more profits, then they will definitely have a big role in the industry because, you know, the resource is limited, population is growing, and we have a bigger demand. So how do we utilize limited resource and maximize the output? Yeah, so, but the number one thing is still make sure this is profitable for farmers, enough incentive for them to use the technology and readily accessible for them.
Yeah, exactly. So you mentioned earlier in our conversation, there's a lot of data points that are generated. And so summarizing that into a sheet of sows that, you know, are needing, you know, ready to breed today, or, you know, an indicator, a sheet that has, these are the sows that are actively farrowing right now, you know, as the staff comes in the morning, that makes sense, right? To boil all that data down into a very actionable point.
Yeah, it's not feasible to just present the raw data to farmer. We need to have a interface that is easy for farmers to interpret the result, to tell them exactly what's going on, what do they need to do at any certain time point.
Yeah, exactly. So after being in the space for a while, what innovations are you the most excited about?
Edge detection, I'm most familiar with that. And right now there's more and more technology coming out, for example, a more advanced semen. They don't have to breed the sows in a very precise timing. You know, the longevity of the semen, those, they are longer. So that really fixed a lot of problem, right? Because, you know, there's more space, more arrows that can be handled if the semen dosage does. The semen longevity is increased. And there's some other researcher, I think one of them at Texas Tech, developed this hormone spray that sows can, you know, contact and spray themselves. And that also eliminates the need for boar exposure, because that's another problem that the farmer have to deal with. You know, it's just keeping a boar there and bringing the sow or the geese to the boar. So those, if the boar exposure thing can be automated, that's really another plus. So I see that type of technology I'm pretty excited for, because if we're talking about automated edge detection, boar exposure is part of it, and that also needs to be automated.
Yeah, exactly. In that case, the sow kind of does it herself, right?
Yeah.
She goes to this area that distributes the spray. And then your technology can, you know, capture that she's the one that went to that space, or
maybe help a second layer confirm that the sow is in heat or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, very, very new very neat technology. I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, thank you.
So we're kind of concluding our time together with Ziting. If you have comments or questions for our podcast show or Ziting, please send us a comment or a message on your listening platform. And if you like listening to our show, give us a thumbs up, please. Ziting, before we sign off, what are some final thoughts or take-homes you have for our listeners from our conversation?
So last year, we were developing the technology for this farrowing application. We came into a lot of design criteria, how we want to have this balance, the trade-off between material cost and functionality. And the feedback that we got from the industry is always about reducing the cost. But for researcher, you know, we want to maximize the functionality. So we want to add components and have the system to be multi-purpose. And so we're still baffling with this design criteria, this trade-off. How do we use inexpensive camera, or do we use 3D camera where we can capture more information? Things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That, you know, it's you want really good data and accurate data, but if that comes at a cost, and putting it out into a lot of farms can be expensive. And so, yeah, it's a very hard decisions.
Yeah. And farmers should also, you know, think about, you know, do they want more precise analysis of individual animals, or just more oriented about the cost? Because if we look at the long run, I think if there's more functionality, in the long run, it will outweigh the infrastructure cost.
Yeah, and it seems like with every technology, once it's implemented, we find a lot more uses for it, and that it's more valuable than we expected. And so there's some of that, but you can't rely on that when you're working on an ROI, right, plan to use this. So
it's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at fortivaimpact.com. Keyes Manufacturing is America's number one source for cheese meal and dairy powders for your feed. Check us out at keysmanufacturing.com. Essential Ag Solutions, bringing innovative science-based solutions to livestock producers. Vaccinova, formulate to your needs, custom-made vaccines. Visit us at vaccinova.us.com for more info. That's vaxxinova.us.com. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions. When it comes to raising healthy, strong swine, the environment makes all the difference. Pancopia provides better environmental conditions for swine so that they can grow faster and more efficiently. Grow smarter, grow stronger, and watch your profits soar. Pancopia, the future of swine care starts here. Visit pancopia.com today to learn more.
Well, very good. Thank you so much for sharing your really new innovative research with us. It's exciting to see where it will go. Now we're going to move into the hallmark of our SwineKnit podcast show, and that's asking our guests three specific questions. So, Zetang, what is your favorite book or resource that you use in your area of expertise?
I mainly rely on Google Scholar to just read a lot of different new technology being developed. So that's my main source of way to get information out there.
Yeah, exactly. Because in your space, a lot of it is still in the research phase, right? And so those are research projects that are being published at universities or other academic institutions. So that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about outside of your area of expertise? What's a book or resource that you find valuable, or you think maybe our listeners would be interested in?
I'll go to the Pork Checkoff, some of those data or data website that tells, I look into the data and try to see what's the gap that needs to be addressed. So it's always start with identifying the problem, right? So look at the place that seem to be inefficient and think of ways to make improvement.
Yeah, exactly. So the National Pork Board has funds different research projects every year and then has a publication of those on their website at the end of each year. And those are really valuable to sort of see what, you know, that's a group of producers that are deciding on what's important for them to get, you know, looked at or be researched. So very good way to stay on top of what are the needs of the industry. And then what are the gaps, like you said?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. And our final one, share with us an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others.
In our line of work, if we're defining success as your research going into the field, going to the consumer, then being able to put yourself in the farmers, in the user's shoes, that's very important, right? You want to think how farmer will use your technology. Will they want to use your technology? Do they need your technology? Is it designed specifically for them? Yeah, so if we end up designing something that is not tailored to the need, for example, they don't need certain information, then they have no interest in utilizing those technologies. So then that means the research will have a difficult time to get into the production space making impact. So always think about what the farmers need. Yeah,
so awareness or understanding, right, in terms of your job and what you're trying to do for the industry. So very good. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It's been really fun to hear about some new technologies.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I look forward to hearing where they go.
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with Elite Remote Talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.